What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, FightfulSelect.com, here with the NXT TakeOver 2020 review. Now, I want to clear up some questions that a couple people had after, I think it was the AEW review that I did here on Select. There were some people that say, well, why are you doing these reviews on Select instead of the main site? Well, for AEW and NXT, I am on post-show media calls. I'm able to get those invites, and I know how to run the software that streams them live, and I'm able to kind of direct traffic in that regard. So I'm not able to be on the NXT TakeOver and AEW post shows how I would like to be, and I think this gives an opportunity to highlight some of the different personalities on the site, but I do want to bring you guys a review. This doesn't take that long to do. I'm able to film parts of the review during downtimes of the show and then directly afterwards and post it up there. Then I hop over on that media call. So hopefully you guys enjoy this NXT TakeOver War Games 2020. I was very happy. I got to do an interview with Shotzi Blackheart ahead of this show. I did not expect that. I've been trying to get WWE interviews since WrestleMania week when I got Kofi Kingston. And fortunately, they thought of me for NXT TakeOver War Games, and I was so happy because I know that you guys want those too, and I hear you all the time. Whenever you ask me to interview a certain WWE wrestler, I hear you, and I'm trying, and fortunately, we were able to make it happen this time with Shotzi. Here's to hoping that happens more in the future because I thought that was a lot of fun, and I thought we did a lot of cool stuff to promote the show, but we got Timothy Thatcher, Tommaso Ciampa, Dexter Lumis, Cameron Grimes in a strap match. We got Leon Ruff, Johnny Gargano, Damian Priest, triple threat for the North American title. Undisputed Era against the Kings of NXT. And then Team Candace versus Team Shotzi. Solid card. It is one of those shows where I think that they wedged in the War Games stuff. They didn't necessarily need a War Games match here. They made these happen because of War Games. I do wish that was adjusted a little bit. That way, it's more like the circumstances produce the rule set instead of the other way around. Women's War Game match kicked it off. Oh my God, this was just some fantastic violence. This match just kept one-upping itself. It went on like 40 minutes. And it just keeps getting better and better and better as it goes on. Shotzi had a new tank. Ember Moon and Dakota Kai started it out, and they were factors throughout the entire show or the entire match. Of course, it ended up being 5-4 because of Indy Hartwell, but Raquel looked great here. However, this is very, very reflective of how Rhea Ripley looked last year at War Games before she got her monster push. And Raquel deserves it. She's worked her ass off. She used the Tour of the Islands. Jeff Cobb does. I've got that as a Making a Finisher feature on Fightful coming up soon. Very happy about that. Rhea and Raquel is a legitimate sirloin beef sons of bitches battle. So awesome. The finish was incredible. We'll get to that. But Shotzi brought in a bunch of weapons, and Tony one-ups her with them. But Shotzi got her new tank that she told me about in the interview. And there's a lot of weapons integrated here. Trash cans, chairs, tables, ladders, all kinds of stuff. I do wish that Indy Hartwell's spot with the key would have been caught by production. That was really, really weird that it wasn't. But everybody involved in this match just kept getting better and better and better and more violent and one-upped one another. There was a hilarious spot where Io finally enters the match by putting a trash can over her head and jumping onto the pile. I mean, the spot was ridiculous and stupid. Nobody would sit there and wait for that. It was completely ignorant, and I loved it. I loved the spot. As dumb as it was, I thought it was amazing. I think the cage looks pretty good in the Capitol Wrestling Center. It's very clear that they have enough space in there to do pretty much whatever they want. I mean, except for maybe an elimination chamber or something, but I'm pretty sure they could craft one that they could make work, a scaled down one if they so chose. But just an amazing match, a can't miss match too. No stakes whatsoever, but I think this will loom huge because Raquel Gonzalez did her tornado powerbomb, her one-arm powerbomb, off the top rope on Io Shirai through a ladder between the rings. She has to be in line for a title shot next. She's got to be the one. She's ready. And while this is happening, have Rhea win fucking matches. And then, when Raquel wins that title, Rhea comes for it. Sirloin Beef sons of bitches battle there. Love this match. Go watch it. So the next match, Tommaso Ciampa defeating Timothy Thatcher, had to follow up that violence. And I thought they did great. Ciampa and Thatcher predictably beat the living shit out of each other. Everything was stiff. Thatcher has evolved so much as a wrestler. I know a lot of people thought that he was just grab a hold guy and evolve. It was never that. But he has adjusted and transitioned really well to the NXT style. His ear got busted up big time with a knee. And then Ciampa just wailed away at it with punches. Also, when Thatcher got the upper hand and he was bleeding, I love the old school cheesing for the camera. Why would you ignore the camera? You're cognizant of it. You know where it is. You know that people are at home watching. So I love it. For so long in WWE, it was like, oh, well, ignore it. No. Work to it if you want to. Ignore it if you want to. Ciampa wins this match with a Bruto Willows belt. But perhaps my favorite thing about this entire match was the fact that they got up at about the same time, which really highlighted how much they just destroyed one another. And I thought that was a really good touch. Thatcher lost an awful lot. And he's one of those guys that could have just won 1-1 until he got to the top of the NXT card. But they don't seem to see that for him, so to speak. So him getting up at the same time as the guy who just beat him, I think is a good touch. And they stared at each other. And the thing that I love about pro wrestling is when it makes me ask questions, it leaves me wanting more. I wanted more of these two. I kind of wanted them to shake hands or hug or keep fighting. Either one, any of them, would have been really awesome. But they do stare at each other, and it left me with a question. What will they do? And I think that's pretty cool. WWE has a habit of doing matches way too much. Like doing the same match over and over and over and over and over. This has me like saying, okay, what's going to be next? What will happen the next time these two get in each other's line of sight? Will they beat each other's ass? Will they shake hands? Will they just nod at each other and decide to go different directions? All of those are fair options, in my opinion. And I thought this was just an outstanding follow-up to that opening match. Dexter Lumis, Cameron Grimes was not for me. They are great. The match was good. The offense was great. I did not care about this match because of the build. I don't know where exactly they can go with this. It was fine. They were good. The strap offense was really good. I just could not care about this match after the build. It was not for me. Maybe it's for somebody else, but it's not for me. Dexter Lumis and Cameron Grimes are wonderful. Nothing but awesome. This match just wasn't for me. Dexter Lumis wins. I should say, this match was for me. The build was not for me. The match did exceed expectations, however. Karrion Kross is back, at least according to a vignette they aired. They didn't outright say it, but it alluded to the fact that he's back. Good. The NXT title has been a non-factor on this show for 2 months now. And it was the case for 2 months before that because Karrion Kross got hurt and they had to determine a new champion. You can't predict these things. You really can't. I assume they're going to go Finn Balor, Karrion Kross. Why wouldn't they? Makes a lot of sense to me. Johnny Gargano becomes North American champion, defeating Leon Ruff and Damian Priest. Early on, this got off to a really good start. There was the old Hernandez border toss version of the Razor's Edge into the barricade, and that took out Leon Ruff, but I really thought it should have taken him out longer. Not because I didn't want to see him, but just because I think that would have added a little bit more drama if he came back late in the match and then was put away pretty quickly. Not for like any reason to bury him. I just think it would have created a great story in the future of like self-doubt. Like, man, I had this chance. I immediately got thrown through a barricade. I came back, hit a couple moves, and got pinned. I think that would have helped his... That would have helped a lot of layering for Leon Ruff. Because, I mean, he's going to have that story. That story is going to be there where he's going to be the underdog. I think himself doubting would have added another layer to that. Like, he's already an underdog. Now he doesn't believe in himself because of how this one match ended, this big match ended. I think that would have been really good and could have had some story to it. Gargano's really good at playing the underdog and the veteran at the same time. Priest gets tied up in the ropes and he broke up that submission attempt. But there was just an amazing South of Heaven chokeslam outside the ring to the inside the ring. We covered that for a Making a Finisher episode. He doesn't use that as his finisher now, but you should check it out anyway. It was a good time. A bunch of ghost faces pop up and he beats their ass. There was a great dive. He does the old Air Jordan, the inside out, Tope Kangiro. And then another one shows up and knocks him out with a pipe. Gargano wins the title, and afterwards we see Austin Theory revealing himself as one of the ghosts. So they got to rehab him if they want him to be anything worth a shit, because they brought him back and he lost every single match except for one, and then he lost right after that into another match. So don't know what they're really planning there, but yeah. He's going to have some heat for a while. That's just the way it's going to be. I thought the match was good. I did not think it needed all those smoke and mirrors. I don't think it needed all that, but it was still good. You got three really good performers. Damian and Johnny Gargano are just two really, really, really good ones. And then, like, I'm just so over this Ghostface shit. Like, move on. Figure out something else. It's fucking December, guys. We don't need to do these anymore. It's December. I mean, I don't know. I don't want him dressing up as Santa Claus or anything, so maybe don't take me too literally there. It's not like, oh, the Monday Night Monkey Paw that we talk about, where if it isn't going to be that, it's got to be something way worse. It doesn't have to be that. But we didn't need to do the ghost face, and Austin Theory does. It was me all along, Austin. That was corny. It was very corny. That's like Voodoo Ken Mafia in 2005, 6, whatever the hell year they were in TNA. Ugh, woof. But if anybody can make Austin Theory good in something like this, it'd probably be Johnny Gargano. We'll see how that ends up. Main event, Undisputed Era pick up the win over the Kings of NXT, Pat McAfee, Oney Lorcan, Danny Burch, Pete Dunne. This is a good match. Great offense, outstanding competitors, very violent. Man, Lorcan got busted up real, real bad, like a cut over his eye. Pat McAfee was doing stuff all over the place, but this is a good indication of why of a couple things. One, probably one War Games match per show works best. And I had somebody say, oh, well, that's like saying they only need one TLC match or only one Money in the Bank match or maybe one Royal Rumble match. Yeah, maybe they do just need one of those. I think the Royal Rumble is a bit of an exception. There are massive stakes. Massive stakes there. There were no stakes in either one of these matches. None. Should there only be one Hell in a Cell match? Yeah. And you know what I think? That the pay-per-view shouldn't dictate the match. The match should dictate the pay-per-view and the stipulation, so to speak. Not the same. Not the same. I would not care if they split up Money in the Bank and decided to do that at different points of the year. It'd probably create some more intrigue throughout the year, but this one, I preferred the women's match, to be honest with you. I just thought it was better, and it kicked off the show. We hadn't sat through a three-hour show by the end of this. This, I don't think it needed to be 40, 45 minutes. That being said, it was very good. Pat McAfee doing that swanton, beautiful. That guy just gets it. Everybody in this match gets it. All eight of these guys get it, and they're incredible. We've just seen a similar setup with this match for years. No stakes, great competitors, but a team that WWE throws together to face Undisputed Era. That's where we are. That's the situation. And that's how it was again. Nothing wrong with that if you want a great match, because this was a great match. But I also saw there were one too many spots where it's like, uh-oh, it's him versus the world. Now they're all going to fight again. Now they're all going to just duke it out. NXT has a lot of talent. They need to freshen things up. They need just like an injection of something fresh. I don't know what approach that is. I'm not sure how that will work, but I do think that there needs to be a bit of a fresh approach. You've got too much talent. Undisputed Era has done everything they can do. And I used to think they should be anchors of NXT. Maybe they could move up to the main roster and fortify Raw or something, but I don't know what else they can do. I'm not sure. One of my notes was that when they talk trash, it doesn't seem organic. It seems like they don't expect people to actually hear it. There's some very cool table spots in this match, too. Overall, I thought that by a long shot, War Games, the women's match, was the match of the night. Heard that Candice LeRae suffered an arm injury. Here's to hoping that she gets well soon. I'll try to find out more on that. Preliminary fears were that it was a broken arm. But hope that isn't the case. Hope that those preliminary fears were not the case. But hope she gets better soon. That match is the one you got to go out of your way to see. Hope you guys enjoyed my review. We've got a full review with Joe Hulbert, Andrew Thompson, Jeremy Lambert up on Fightful.com momentarily. And I'll be doing the Triple H post-show media call. Until next time, we're out.